Yeah. What up? Yeah, what's up? Hey, everybody. How's it going? This is LE2B. I'm Tom McCaffrey. I'm here with Eric B. A little Beastie Boys for you.
Yeah. I know you're a fan.
Yeah. What song? What's that called? That's the one on their last album. Make Some Noise. Right. Yeah. That's when they did that video with everyone in it, like Elijah Wood. And they just had a block dedicated to them called Beastie Boys Square.
Oh, I heard about that. Where was that? Or did you
down
me?
On Rivington and like Ludlow, where the cover of Paul's Boutique was shot?
Oh, that's right, kind of near me.
Yeah, it's like right down the street from like Black Cat and Pianos, you know.
Oh yeah, our friend Mr. Murphy lives around there,
and so I went to it. It was kind of, you know, they were there, Ad-Rock and Mike D. It was kind of interesting.
When was
that? A couple weeks ago. It was okay. It was just, I was like, oh, you know, because I don't live that far from it. And
what's the name of the street? What's it called now?
Beastie Boys Square, because that's where they shot the Paul's Boutique cover. They did this like panoramic camera picture where it took like an entire 360 picture.
I live on Vanilla Ice Court. Is that
cool? Yeah, that's good. Spice Girls Ave.
I live on House of Pain Boulevard.
Yeah, that's a rough one. Isn't there a street called somewhere like called People with AIDS Street? I think in San Francisco. I think that's true.
Imagine, really?
Like telling a girl that's where you live. Like, oh, let's go back to my place. Where do you live? People with AIDS Street? Yeah, I just take a left here.
Yeah, I think I had a joke about it or I wanted to do a joke about it. There's a street in the city that was renamed like Holocaust Way or something. It's like, where are you? I'm on the corner of Holocaust and Hitler. Yeah.
Also, just the fact that there's a neighborhood called Hell's Kitchen, so that kind of stayed. Like, I remember hearing that when I was a kid. I was like, oh my God, I don't want to go there. And wasn't it kind of bad?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was back in the day. And then what happened was, they renamed it like they always rename these areas, and they called it Clinton, I think, right? But people thought Hell's Kitchen was so much cooler, even all the gentrifiers, so they just went back to that.
Yeah,
I actually live my area is called Satan's Asshole. That's where I live.
Yeah, that is rough. First of all, why the kitchen? It just seems odd to me that Hell would even have a kitchen, and would it be that? It doesn't seem like that would be the worst area in the place.
I know, if you're
this
in hell,
like Hell's Kitchen, right?
I live in the Devil's Foyer.
Yeah, Satan's Nook. All right. So the writer's strike finally ended. I guess what was like a couple of days ago. I guess they finally struck up a deal. We've been following a little bit. And have you heard anything about? I've been hearing a little bit about the negotiations, and I guess what they were holding out for and what they got. Have you heard anything about that? And what's your view on it now? Do you think
improved? I think that, first of all, those late night shows are coming back on Monday. Bill Maher's coming back on Friday. He looks like the biggest dick in all of this because, you know, he couldn't hold out. You know, he just was stupid.
Yeah. He tried to come back like a week early. Why?
I know. I like that those shows are actually back on in a way because not that I watched them, but people always like to show clips and, you know, obviously they all skew kind of liberal. So you kind of like to see them have their takes on certain things.
And do you remember when Drew Barrymore, she really got a lot of flack for she tried to come back a couple weeks ago and she just got, you know, lambasted and attacked by everyone, and she just literally reneged immediately, just was like, yeah, all right, I'm not gonna do it.
But I mean, like all the political stuff that's out there, I mean, no one's been really, you know, I think that some people get their news from those sources, even if it's in clips, and you know, it's all been silent for months.
I think that like especially like Colbert, he definitely like made his the whole show around that.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe that is because I feel like that has been missing a little bit. There's been some like social commentary that hasn't been around. I just haven't really noticed, but it just seems very almost one-sided a little bit.
I mean, you only have Gutfeld on. So, I mean, like,
I know. Have you ever watched that?
No.
That Gutfeld show?
I mean, I've watched parts of it. It's
Would you ever do that show if they asked you to do it?
I mean, I know they're asking comics to do it now. I'd like to say I wouldn't, but I don't know. I probably might.
Which one would you rather do, that or Comics Unleashed?
Probably Unleashed, but I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if that show's on anymore.
I don't think it is, but if they rebooted it.
Was I talking about how Byron Allen made a $10 billion offer for ABC?
Yeah. I you told me about that. I don't know. He's a billionaire, that guy.
Yeah, he's a mogul, man. Smart. Smart dude.
Yeah. He's smart, not that funny, but yeah, no, he's smart.
Well, don't say that. You might want to get on that show.
Comics Unleashed. No, yeah. I think I would not do that show. I definitely would turn it down. That's the one.
How about Comics Leashed? Would you do that one?
I feel like that's my life. Comics Leashed. That was Norm MacDonald's commentary on that show. He was like, I did Comics Unleashed. And he was like, you couldn't be more leashed.
Yeah. I know.
That show is just so absurd. Watching it just seems, I know we're really, not to go on a tangent about Comics Unleashed, the important news of the day, but it's like embarrassing to watch almost. Because he sets them all up with questions. Like he's like, hey, so... Like, you know, if you're on, hey, Eric, so you're afraid of bees, right? And then you'll do like 3 minutes on bees.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think it was a thing. Yeah. I think it was a thing for years ago where comics always needed good credits, you know, so you could say, oh, I did that. But credits now in comedy are just, they're nothing really. I mean, like, first of all, everyone watches TikTok. You can really use that as a credit almost.
Right. And no one's paying more attention to you because of Comics Unleashed.
Right. This show is on Spotify, so I can go.
Right.
Heard You're on Spotify. Amazon Music, you know, whatever. It doesn't, I could say Amazon too. I could say anything.
You know?
I'm not lying.
You could say, that was another thing that annoyed me. Like, you know, you get really into like racking up credits, but then I would do shows and hosts would just lie because you couldn't do anything. You know, you couldn't like fact check, like people be like, yeah, this guy's been a Comedy Central. I mean, they could, you know, the guy hadn't been a comedy, but it was like, it didn't matter. No one in the audience was like, wait a minute, I didn't see you. So I mean, it was just kind of like, I remember when I'd see that, I was like, oh, so what was the point of actually trying to get these credits if you can just make them up?
But now, I mean, you could really just dump anything in there and you wouldn't be lying. I mean, when I go on stage, I just, so because I don't want to give a long laundry list of stuff, it's just so stupid, you know. So I just say Sirius XM, you know, because I've been on there. It's easy to say, but the problem is sometimes the MC will go, "Oh, you've seen this guy on Sirius XM." I'm like, "You've seen this guy on the radio?" I mean,
do you always go use that as an opener after they say it?
No, I don't even, because it's, you don't want to do shit. You don't want to shit on your credit. You know, that's always a comedy bush league thing where, like, if someone makes up your credits, you don't go up and go, oh, he just made all that up, because then you're just shitting on yourself. Right. You know,
what I would do, there was a time where people would be like, because they'd be like, what are your credits? And I would say, like, you know, Comedy Central or something. And they'd be like, instead of just saying he's been at Comedy Central, they'd be like, you'll recognize this guy from Comedy Central at VH1. And I was like, you'll recognize me, like, you know, and then I go up and we're like, so do you guys recognize me from Comedy Central? And they'd be like, no. I'd be like, no, you guys don't watch Comedy Central at 4 a.m. on Tuesday.
I kind of,
but it was like, just leave out though. They won't recognize me.
Right.
They could be playing Comedy Central. Right. They wouldn't recognize me from, like, if I see them in an hour, they won't recognize me from the stage.
I mean, it kind of works more with your persona. You know, you're kind of snarky up there. So that you saying that, it works for you. It wouldn't work for me, or wouldn't work for most comics. I've seen newer comics do that. I'm like, you know, or the real Bush League thing you see. I know we're back into comedy, but this happened the other night where it's a new comic on stage. The MC doesn't really know their name that well and fucks it up slightly, right? The Bush League, the new comic, will always correct them, you know? I would never, like, who cares? They don't remember any name, and doesn't matter. The other night, there was supposed to be a female comic going on before me, but then she couldn't be there in time, so they just they point, you know, they said, oh, you're next, you know, but I had to like kind of signal to the MC that it was me, but he had already said, you're this first comedian. She is hilarious. She's the best comic ever. And then I'm like pointing to me. Now, if he had just said he, I would have just gone with the name, whatever he said, but he was saying right. She, so I had to correct him.
But did he say your name right?
Yeah, but then it was so funny because this next comedian, she's the funniest, most hilarious. She's so great. And then I'm like, and he goes, oh, no, it's not going to be her. It's this guy.
Like, oh, this guy. Oh, wait, the funny one's later.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
guy's not funny.
Just the way you say it, you build up the other.
Right, right.
He didn't even say, oh, this guy's funny, too. He goes, oh, I got it wrong. It's just this guy. I'm like, oh, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
I did a show once and it was like a contest show. It was like, you know, so I was really nervous and it was like a big deal. And like, it was in LA and the host was Jamie Kennedy. Okay. I have this on video somewhere. And it was like a big deal. There was a lot of pressure on it. And he said who was supposed to be after me instead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the guy's name. His name was Josh Sneed. He was a comedian on it.
I remember
and
that,
he goes, yeah. This next guy is Josh Sneed. And I was standing off stage about to go on. And I remember I was like, should I go on? Like, I don't know
yeah.
what to do. And so I walked on. And as I was walking on, he was like, oh, I think he was high. He was like, yeah. Oh, sorry. No, it's not him. It's Tom McCaffrey. And I was like already at the mic. And I go, so I took the mic and I thought this was a really funny thing in the moment. I go, all right, everyone, give it up for your host, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, that's great.
And it kind of got a laugh, but not as big a laugh as I thought it should, because it was like he fucked up and I had to like kind of scramble in the moment. And it was because it was kind of an awkward moment. And I came up with something like right on the spot that was kind of funny. And like, it sort of got a laugh, but I was kind of pissed off that, and it sort of threw me a little bit. Cause like, you know, you're already really nervous and it's just kind of like, oh, so I'm already kind of rattled when I get up there.
I know that's so the worst thing to do when you rattle. Like you could do it to your friend. Like if you want to, if you're an MC and you want to fuck around with your friend, that's one thing. But sometimes you'll have a stranger doing it and they'll fuck around with, you know, I remember one comic was,
well, no, he did it. By mistake.
No, I know. But some people will actually deliberately just try to be funny, and that it's always bad. Yeah. You know,
I hate when comedians try and be funny.
Yeah, that's the worst. Yeah, but they shouldn't fuck around with your intro. You know, I mean, I love her. You know, Sharon Simon. She's
a comic,
and she's very funny. But she used to be an MC, and she would just go. Don't you hate one when they just go too high? Like, this is the greatest comic.
Yeah, yeah. I hate that.
Yeah, because you're like, you know, famous comics, they don't like that. When I hear someone bring up Jerry Seinfeld, they're like, what should I say? Go, just your next comic's Jerry Seinfeld. Don't give the whole fucking thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so...
I'll downplay Jerry Seinfeld. This guy, I don't know. I've never heard of him.
Yeah, but they don't like that because they feel weird too. They overdo it.
Yeah.
You feel weird too. And I remember once she doesn't do that anymore. But one time she goes, oh, this next comic is the funniest comic on the Eastern Seaboard. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, wait, am I a battleship? What the fuck?
I mean, once you get to the Western Seaboard, it's fucking, he's not even in the running. Shit gets so much funnier over there.
And I was just like, that's the weirdest intro I think I've ever gotten in my life.
I hate when people are like, this guy, and luckily it doesn't happen that much, but when people be like, oh my God, this guy is the greatest. Oh, he's so great. Oh, he's this. And then it's just like, relax.
Yeah.
I don't want any expectations.
There's always, sometimes people will go, oh, this next comic is a really good friend of mine. I'm like, what the hell is that? That's not an intro. I always think of it as like, you're a doctor and you're like, you know, I was going to perform this operation. I'm very capable, but I just don't have time. So this next guy who's going to operate on you, he's a really good friend of mine. That's the only thing I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. He's not even a doctor. Yeah. Right. That's a weird one. Yeah. He's a good friend of mine. Like, I don't know. Yeah. People have said it who like, I don't even know that well. You ever had that happen? I was talking to my girlfriend the other day where like someone will tell you that they're like your best friend, you know, and you're like someone that you're like, don't consider at all in your barely in your top 20 of friends. Like you're like, I'm one of your best friends. Like, what are you talking about? I feel like I don't even really see you ever.
Right. There was actually
I'm a really good friend.
Yeah, there's a Curb episode.
It's like, once. What are you, the Unabomber?
There's a Curb episode like that once where that, you know, that guy who Bob Einstein played Funkhauser,
Super Dave.
Yeah, and there's one scene where he's like, Larry, you know, you're my best closest friend, and Larry's the whole time's like, what are you talking about? You know. And, you know, that guy was so funny the way he said, he kind of stares those dead eyes at you.
Dave. Yeah. Yeah. He was one of the funniest. I remember early on watching him on Letterman when I was really, you know, like you're young and you kind of feel like you're like developing a sense of humor and you feel kind of like you're like kind of feel sophisticated. Like, oh, I think this is funny. Like that means I have a sophisticated. So he was one of the first people that I would see on that. And I was like, I just like had this sense. I was like, this seems really funny to me.
Yeah.
I don't really. And back then you had no communication with, so you kind of just had to make your own calls on what you thought was funny.
Yeah.
You know? So I remember feeling kind of proud, like, oh, like I think this is funny. And I don't know that a lot of people do. Oh, this is what I was going to say. Have you ever had this? I'm sure you have, where like when you emceed, people will come to you with these like really long list of credits and like bio and like a paragraph, like, that comedian Barry Sobel did that to me once, years ago. And Barry Sobel, you know, like I remember being a big comedian in the 80s. He was in, like, movies and stuff. So I kind of like knew who he was for when I was really young. So anyway, like this was like 10 years ago. And he gave me this like long paragraph of like an intro, not even just credits. It was like, say this and this and this. And I think I got like one thing wrong. And he just like kept shitting on me when he got on stage. I think it was something like, I said, he's going to be on I Love the 80s or something. And it said, and then he got up, he's like, yeah, I love the 90s.
Oh boy. Oh,
and I was just difference. Like, you gave me like 50. Fuck you, dude. You're like, I ain't remembered anything, you know? So, I really dropped the ball there.
I mean, I used to host for years and sometimes I'd do that and I would just go, one thing, just say one. Give me one thing. I can't. I'm not doing it. One thing.
Yeah.
I think the funniest. I always tell people the story. I was once hosting, and you know, there were some comics who worked the black circuit. You know, black comics, and they sometimes have ridiculous, crazy names. You know, I don't think it's less like that now. One time I was hosting a show. I go, oh, well, what's your name? And the guy's like, I'm supercalifragilistic motherfucker. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm not.
He's
saying,
good.
Yeah, I go, I'm not saying that. I go. What's your Christian name?
He's like, Steve.
Yeah. I'm like, it was insane. It was not even like, you know, they have names that are like silly, you know, but this was like insane. It was like a sentence. I'm like, I couldn't even repeat that back to you. And you're saying, you know,
what did you say, his actual name? Or
yeah, I said, I'm not saying that. I go, what's your name? And he's like,
he was cool with it.
Guts. Yeah, because I think he was, I don't know, he was probably new or something. I'm like, I was almost saying it like, if you say that, it's not going to help you in this club. It's not going to work.
I had that with this guy. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm not saying Arsenio. I'm not saying that. That's too weird. Arsenio Hall.
But sometimes I'm almost giving him advice, because I gave this guy advice recently. Newer comics, they wear these, sometimes they'll think that their shirt is funny and they'll have some ridiculous shirt that says fuck you, fucking fuck, you know.
Yeah.
And it's
that,
you know,
is good.
It's distracting, you know, and they think, oh, I'm gonna get laughs from the shirt. I'm like, if they're looking at your shirt the whole time, you're not getting any laughs.
Right.
So it was ridiculous. And I said, look, I'm assuming you're new. He's like, yeah. I'm like, you might want to turn the shirt inside out. Oh, he's like, I got a sweatshirt I put over. Yeah, I put it over there because I got, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to go well.
If only Bert Kreischer had met you earlier on.
Yeah, I'd have been like, put the shirt on.
You know what? Just wear the shirt. They're just going to be looking at you.
That was a newer thing with him anyway. He became a good comic before he started doing that.
I know. I know it was his thing, but I think, you know, years later, and after he was big, I tried to watch him, and I just couldn't get past it. I just was like, it's just, I can't get past it. It's too weird.
It's distracting. I mean,
it is. It's just, I'm not listening. I don't know what's going on. I mean, you're going to talk about your shirt being off the whole time. If not, this is weird. Like, it's just like,
you know, it's also, I might've talked about this before, but like female comics, you know, I think women have a right to dress sexy. I'm not slut shaming or anything, but if you look too kind of revealing on stage, guys will be distracted. If you're really hot, women will actually, some of them will be mad at you, right? Yeah. So, and women comics always have it tougher anyway, because second female comics on the stage, there's men in the audience will just shut off immediately.
Right.
And if you're just shooting your breasts out like that, they're just like, they're not even listening to you.
Can you think of someone offhand who does that?
There's you. I don't want to name names, but yeah.
Okay, just whisper it to me. Burke Kreischer? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he does dress too sexy.
I think it's the same for men and women. You dress neutral. Your clothes should never be the focus.
Distracting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Tell that to Eddie Murphy in his second or third.
Well, he was just wearing a leather suit. I mean, that is slightly distracting, but it's not that bad.
It fit. Believe me. Right. Those specials were fine. They definitely transcended what he was wearing. But it was funny because it was such a huge aspect.
Yeah, and you're famous too. That's different. But I'm saying if you're not known, you know, no one should go, hey, that comic sucked, but oh, that shirt. Oh my God. That was hilarious.
If I ever do another comedy, like a long set, I think I'm gonna wear like the Raw suit, the Eddie Murphy Raw suit. Just never acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, you guys? So anyway, yeah, that'd be funny. So, okay. I don't know. So Cassidy Hutchinson, you know her. She's she was the White House aide, I guess, who worked in the West Wing during the Trump administration. And she wrote a book and she testified at the, you know, January 6th Congress committee hearings not this summer, but the one before. And she kind of, you know, she sort of told all about what was going on. Basically, just the path is now you work in the Trump administration, you finally come out, you finally turn against, and you write a book and you make a lot of money. So she did that. But I've been watching her in interviews, and I was saying, like, she seems like to be getting a little more attention just because I feel like a lot of the people, the mouthpieces, you know, talking against Trump on a lot of these shows, they're usually just like these. It's a lot of like old white guys.
Yeah.
Just kind of bitching. And then, you know, it'd be like people like Michael Cohen who kind of gets spurned. And then, you know, he just sounds very bitter and kind of embattled. And he's just clearly like has a vendetta a little bit, because he has good reason to. But she's like a lot more measured, and she's young and she is good looking.
Right.
So she, for some reason, she seems a lot more credible and more appealing, but for the superficial reasons that I feel like the GOP and Republicans respond to more than anyone else. Like, I feel like when you look at Fox News and stuff, they're obsessed with appearance.
Right.
Way more so. Like, if you look at Fox News, it's like all the women just look like they're so overdone. Like, they're so obsessed with them being hot, you know?
Well, I think
now there's a hot chick who's kind of speaking out, but yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, someone brought this up to me. I mean, I was looking at her position. She was a former assistant to the chief of staff. She was pretty high up there. Now, she was at the time 24. It seems like it. I mean, look, she's very nice, whatever, but it just seems like she might have been a little underqualified for that role. However, if you compare her to anyone else who worked in the Trump administration, they had middle-aged guys that were unqualified for the role.
Right.
I mean, so.
And I guarantee you part of why she got the position was she was hot and young.
Right.
So, and like I said, I think that they wrote her off and just looked at her like a lot, you know, as nothing. She was no threat there. It was just kind of like, yeah, what is this like young idiot bimbo going to do? She's not going to, she has no power. And knowing her backstory, I wasn't really aware of this, but, you know, before she testified, you know, they're basically coming after and strong arming her. And she had no money. She doesn't come from a rich family. So she basically, when she left and got rid of the attorney that Trump appointed and went and sought her own counsel, which was a huge, basically, you know, got her ousted from Trump world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it was a huge risk. She didn't know which, you know, what would happen, and kind of, and so she was going to testify, but she didn't really know the outcome of it. And I just, she was only like 26 when she did that. And I don't know, like, she seemed very credible and she was very poised. And like I said, I do feel like they respond more, they give more attention to like a woman who presents herself well in a certain, listen, like, superficial way.
What do you think Fox News is all about? I mean, that was Roger Allies, the guy who created it. They feed bullshit, but they have the hot women saying it. So people are like, oh, well, right, she's hot. I guess she must be credible.
So that's what I mean. I feel like if you're going to have any chance of getting through to some of those people, that's what the only thing that gets through to them is like, well, I guess she's hot. But the other thing, she's doing that thing where now she's kind of like, she's like an idealist, you know, where she's just kind of like, you know, this is ridiculous. And this is like the make or break time for the Republican Party. And it's like, well, you know, what are you talking about? Like, where have you been? Like, the yeah, make or break was like years ago. Like, you think now we're in the make or break? Like, no, that passed at least three years ago was like the last stop. And it's also annoying because she's another one of those people that was like, she talks about like, you know, I adored Trump. I thought he was so great. Like, when I started working for it. And then, like, you know, it turned out like he was kind of like a liar and he was kind of crass. Yeah. Saying, it's like, what did you see? Like, it's really frustrating because she'll go on these, you know, MSNBC shows and you can tell there's a, like, Nicole Wallace was interviewing her and you can tell Nicole Wallace is just a little bit like, look, fucking idiot. What were you expecting from this guy? Like, we all saw it. Like, really, he was kind of disgusting, right? And he was a liar and he was a con man. Oh, really? If only, like, some other people had, like, seen this and been talking about it. Like, so, like, I mean, she's kind of like, look, you guys, I was in there. And he's kind of like a jerk. Like, he kind of lies a lot.
I know. And it's like, these people are so surprised. And like I always said, that years ago, before he was president, I knew people who, like, had some work for him and they said that he didn't pay his bills. Like, you know, and then I think I said this before, like, he would sue you and then you'd just get half of what he owed you. So basically what people started doing was double charging him because they knew that he would never pay his bills.
Yeah. And so it's kind of
20
like,
years ago.
Yeah. So it's, I guess maybe, you know, you can blame it on like youth and, you know, another thing is that she talks about her dad in the book. I haven't read the book, but I've seen excerpts. Yeah. She clearly has daddy issues and her dad was basically like a MAGA Republican. So it's very clear that she probably has some daddy issues, wants to like please her dad. And so got on the Trump train because of her dad and was probably trying to impress her dad. And was like, look, dad, I'm working for your hero, you know, for his chief of staff. I'm the assistant to his chief of staff. Isn't that amazing? But I guess I can excuse it in that, but it's just getting more. It's another thing of like, she's like, you know, we need, if people want to try and get, you know, finally get off of this Trump train and get out of Trump world, it's like, we need to be more, you know, compassionate and give them more of a landing, like a safe landing. And I've said this over and over. It's like, look, I'm not a cult deprogrammer. Like, it's not my job now to get people out of a cult. Like, it's like, I'm sorry that you were duped and you're an idiot, but like, why is it ever like the people who are rational and saw through it? Why is it our jobs now to hold your hand through being a fucking moron?
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't have time for that. Like that. So I like her, but at the same time, part of me is just like, look, I mean, I don't know. I'm glad you got out and everything, but like, it's just, it's pathetic. What were you, what did you not see? So it's frustrating, like 8 years later to have someone be like, you know what, you guys, I have, you know, I wrote a book and it turns out, you know what, this guy, not great, not the greatest move. And I don't think he should be president again. You know, and it's like, right. Okay.
There's been a lot of people written books who worked in the administration. They come out and it's, you know, I wish I could say it would do something. I know she's not an older white guy, but they'll smear her. Nothing will get through to these people. I mean, we'll go into the debates now because it's like these debates are so funny. They're tearing each other apart and none of them are going to win. None of them. They're all 40. Like, oh, Nikki Haley, she's moving up. She's 40 points behind Trump. She's running for vice president.
2.5%.
Yeah. She's running for
Ron DeSantis vice president. Is in second place and everyone hates him. Everyone hates him.
I know. So I want to play a clip because they had the debate yesterday. This was her moment, I guess.
Did you Where she yelled it.
I do like that she hit Vivek. I would have to say
that guy is terrifying. Hate him.
Yeah. But I'll play the clip that here it is.
I feel a little bit dumber for what you say because I can't believe you've got a TikTok situation. What they're doing is these 150 million people are on TikTok. That means they can get your contacts, they can get your financial information, they can get your emails, they can text messages, they can get all of
this. This is very important for our party.
You hear that? It was kind of low, but
I could hear it. The one thing, I don't know if you heard about this, I watched some of it and they're just yelling over each other for a lot of it. So it's so representative of that party right now and where it is, where it's just literally chaos. It's like a class that like there's no teacher in the room and they've gone completely off the wagon, not off the wagon, whatever they've just gone off the rails and they're just all screaming and they don't know what to say. And they're all just trying to be the loudest. And there's like three moments in it where like the Lincoln Project put together some videos where literally for like 40 seconds, four of them are yelling at the same time. And at one point, Ron DeSantis is like, what is going on? And it's so, and they're talking about nothing. There's one exchange with Tim Scott and Nikki Haley where they're talking about curtains that were in the Obama White House.
I mean, that's the thing. It's all nonsense because they don't have any real issues. Now, in the case of her, that's a great line when she said, I feel dumber for what you said. And then she literally says something completely stupid after that about TikTok and Chinese. I mean, it's like she had that viral moment and followed up with the dumbest thing to say. Right. But, you know, I think other people were pointing this out when she said, I'm dumber for what you just said. Just reminded me of this. Remember Billy Madison?
I saw it a long time ago. I'm not one. I know some people are like real.
There was the part in it, Jim Downey, who was like a Saturday Night Live writer. They're doing like a test at the end. And Billy Madison gives the worst, stupidest answer ever. And, you know, and it's like a game show almost. And then Jim Downey says this. You want to hear it?
Sure. Yeah. I think I remember that.
It's so funny.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you.
Now we know where she.
Right,
and may God have mercy on your soul.
When he goes, when God has mercy on you, that's the best line in the movie. And then Adam Sandler's like, you know, a no could have been enough or something like that.
Yeah. Well, there was, if only the debate moderators had made a comment like that, because they just literally had no control over it. And again, it's like watching, I think people would make comments, it's like watching the kids' table fight. And like, all it does is empower Donald Trump more and more because it looks so pathetic. And
it's,
you know,
it's a brilliant move, him not doing
these. Of course he shouldn't do.
No, it's brilliant.
Of course, like you, why would you? It's like literally going to play. It's like, I can't even compare it. It'd be like, you know, fucking Jeter in the middle of his career, like going to play T-ball with someone. Or, you know, it's just like, why would you do this? It just makes you look worse and less. It makes them look more and more pathetic. And Chris Christie, what a fucking like nothing that guy turned out to be. Like, he really talked this huge game and then just he has nothing to. Did you hear his big line last night? I mean, it was pathetic. He looked into the camera and he's like, Donald, I know you're watching.
Donald Duck.
Yeah. He's like, you know, if you keep not coming to these debates, keep ducking these debates, we're not going to call you Donald Trump. We're going to call you Donald Duck. That was his big burn. And I'm like, dude, that's like such an old reference. And it's like, oh, wow, Donald Duck. Wow. That really cuts to the quick. I wonder what happened. I feel like he was like a good debater. Didn't he have like a good history with these primary debates, like kind of cutting people down?
What'd you say?
I thought Christie was like, he had this rep for being like a great debater and kind of like humiliating people and just kind of, you know,
I mean,
dressing them down.
Yeah, buddy. I mean, he's not as good as I guess anyone thinks he is. I just want to play it. Is this the Donald Duck thing? Let's hear this.
But we need the law and order back everywhere. We need law and order back in our suburbs. People are threatened there. We need it in our rural areas. People feel threatened there. And we need it in Washington, D.C. also. And Donald Trump should be here to answer for that, but he's not. And I want to look in that camera right now and tell you, Donald, I know you're watching. You can't help yourself. I know you're watching. Okay? And you're not here tonight. Not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on the stage and defending your record. You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
Where's Joe Biden? He's completely missing action from the.
First of all, that was so funny because I watched that and he made that comment, Christie, and then DeSantis jumps in. He's like, and basically just makes the exact same point. Christie, maybe, where is he? He should be here. And it's like, what do you, you just said exactly what he just said. What do you, this is your, it's like you could tell he was kind of like, wait a minute. I was going to say that too. And then it's just like, I'll just say it. Like he didn't just say it, but Donald Duck, I mean, doesn't he just call you a fat pig basically? And your big comeback is Donald Duck.
I mean, just I watched some of it and like there was one point they asked Tim Scott because this week he said that, you know, the auto workers are striking and he was like, oh, they should just fire them all. Like they Reagan fired the air traffic controllers, even though it's a private business. They can't fire them. But that was a bad remark, I think, from him because, these elections are going to be decided in these Rust Belt states, you know. Wisconsin or Michigan, where Michigan really where the cars
literally by about 4,000 people,
right? So he just shit on the unions, and so I think there's no way he's going to be vice president now because, or Trump will pick him because they'll play that shit on a loop in Michigan.
I don't think any of them do. I feel like they're embarrassing themselves so much. It's just like demeaning themselves where they're just looking worse and worse, and like none of them have any power. It's just like. They're like all the more I watch, I didn't know how pathetic DeSantis was. It's like the more you see DeSantis, the more you're just like, I didn't know he was such a nothing.
No, they said he's like the Scott Walker. Remember, they were building up Scott Walker from Wisconsin years ago. And then he's big in his state, but he's not ready for prime time, you know. But back to the Tim Scott thing real fast, was that they asked him about that. Like, you really want to fire all the auto workers? And then he doesn't answer the question, and somehow the question turns into about COVID vaccines or something. Like we talk about that, how they don't even answer the questions, they pivot or they filibuster. And you know, if you're the, I think someone did say something, but if you're the debate moderator, you didn't answer the question. So I'm going to give you 20 more seconds, I guess, because there's so many candidates, you can't do that. But I'd be like, you didn't answer the question. So I'm going to ask it again.
They tried a couple of times.
Yeah.
One of them did it directly when Pence was asked a question. And he didn't. And he was like, first, I want to address this law and order thing or something. And then he was done. And she was like, so you think the Affordable Care Act will be standing still? And because that was what the question was about, with the Affordable Care Act. They talked about a lot of.
What did they say about that? They're leaving that one alone now. They're not
just because it became popular. They're just like the usual. It's a mess, and it was it's awful, and they didn't do what Trump. You know, they haven't figured it out yet that like. You can just say anything and it doesn't matter. Like, because remember Trump, his whole thing was, I'm going to replace it immediately. The first day, Trump's really going to have a long first day in office because there's like 50 things he's already like, he's going to end the war, the Ukraine war on the first day.
Yeah. They ain't going to touch the ACA because that was the dumbest thing Trump ever did in his first term or hopefully only term. He gets in and he's so spiteful with Obama that's the first thing that he's going to do. Now, he lost the election, even though in his mind he won, but he lost popular vote by 3 million votes. So people didn't like him. And that was the first thing he fucking did. And it almost happened. And he had no plan. And
the only thing was McCain. McCain was the only thing that stopped it, right?
Yeah. But in 2018, when the Democrats took over the House and stuff, that was a big part of it. You know, I mean, like, it was the stupidest piece of, I mean, I think he just wanted to do it fast so they wouldn't remember in 2018, but they had no plan. And it was like,
yeah,
dude, you won the electoral college, but you didn't win the popular vote. So you're already unpopular president. Why would you take healthcare away from 30 million people? He doesn't understand why he lost.
Yeah. But it was really unpopular at the time. A lot of people were on board for that. Like, people wanted it repealed.
They wanted it. They didn't. There was flaws with it, but they didn't want it repealed. It was just the base. It was just the base of the Republican Party. And the more they tried to repeal it, the more popular it got, because everyone remembered what it was like before that. You know?
But I remember that he ran on it. He basically, that was one of his big, you know.
Yeah, but if that's just for the base of the party, you know.
I guess, but he got elected.
And then he said, I'm going to replace it with a beautiful, beautiful plan.
Right. And then they kept running the numbers. Health plan.
Yeah, they kept running the numbers like, 30 million people are going to have less health care because of this. I'm like, dude, let me tell you something right now. One last thing. If he had said Medicare for all, we would have gotten it. That's the worst thing about Trump, that his supporters will do anything. He could be a fucking communist as they'll listen to anything. That would have been the most popular thing he could have done. The Democrats would have gone on board, but you know, he didn't want to do that, I guess.
Another thing about the auto workers, they talked about that very little, they proposed a question to Tim Scott about what he had said. And you know, they're taking a really weird stance of that whole situation where they were kind of like, I think Ramaswamy said it too, where they're like just stating how irrational they thought that they were acting for being on strike. And they're like, you know, they all they want is, you know, they want work 4-day work week and they want more pay. Can you believe these guys? And it's just like, right. They want to work less hours and make more money. Like, yeah,
Tim Scott was like, they want to work the French 4-day a week. Listen, if the Democrats should run on the 4-day week. They should run on that. You know, they will win. You know,
I feel like everyone thinks it's like, oh God, it's like freeloaders. And they keep being like, people are getting paid more to stay at home than they go to. And I'm like, what state is this that you're getting paid more to stay home? I remember during the pandemic that was going on, but that's not the case anymore. Right.
No, yeah. But I mean, I think things have changed. And I think you could run on that. You know, you could run it. Democrats should be the 4-day a week, party. We're not even saying work less than 40 hours, maybe work 40 hours in four days. You know, they even say that's really makes people more productive. The problem is, you know, there's a lot of nuance to that. So the Republicans would obviously try to smear them. But
they'd spin it into like, oh, everyone's a freeloader and no one wants to do anything. They just want to sit at home and smoke and do drugs. And,
right. Oh, you ever go on the comments
and groom
like
kids?
Someone's like Twitter or whatever. And these people are like, these people are lazy. They don't do anything. Blah, blah, blah. Well, welfare, by the way, is really hard to get onto these days. They changed it 20 years ago. But these people who are writing this all day, they're talking about the lazy freeloaders. And I'm always like, why? You're tweeting like 8,000 times a day. I
know.
You're
what are
not
you doing?
Working.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you in the, what are you in between operations right now? But also like these auto workers, are they not aware? I mean, that's a rough job being an auto worker, like working on that line. They're working like 6-day work weeks right now and they're not getting any raise in wages, and they can't, you know, they don't have a livable wage. So it's very easy to just sit back and be like, oh, they're so lazy and they want this and that. It's like, yeah, it's a rough job. Like Tim Scott, like I'd like to see any of them do that one day, that job, work on an auto line.
Right. I mean, the senators are like, they don't even work. They show up. A senator works how many days a year?
Well, I don't know. I mean, aren't they about to shut the government down in like 2 hours? So, I mean, they're not going to be working for like another month. They have about a month off. I don't know what. It's just like everyone's a freeloader, but all they want to do is shut the. Believe me, if I worked in the government, I'd want to shut the government down too. I'd want some time off.
Right. I'm trying to look it up, but it's like there's 365 days a year. I don't know. They maybe work 150 days a year. So, and they're telling everyone that they're lazy.
What I'm always trying to figure out is the poor Republican, you know, when you always see the that they're all in for Trump, you know, and they're always wearing all the Trump gear. But I mean, it was before Trump where they are such staunch Republicans. But I just can't understand why. I don't understand what it do. Are they completely because they always seem to be like, yeah, everyone wants a handout, or you can't just spend all this money on this, and you can't just give people money. And it's like, you don't have any money. You don't have a job. You don't have any skills, and you're against the party that maybe wants to help you. Like, the mentality of that,
because the mentality is that when they think that someone's getting money, some of those people could be brown, and they would rather have nothing and everyone have nothing. I mean, I just watched that Civil War documentary, the Ken Burns thing again, and you have all these Southern soldiers fighting for slavery, and none of them own slaves. All the slave owners fucking, they didn't fight. So they're fighting for these other guys to have slaves. That's that mentality. That's really never, it's never really gone away. It's really never gone away.
That's funny. I never thought of that. That right there sums it up. And if it's just generation passed off to generation, you're going to be, and you don't have any education, you're just, it's exactly the Cassidy Hutchinson thing. It, the one thing that's amazing about Cassidy Hutchinson is that she was able to break through it. This is another thing that's so funny about the Trump reelection, all the morons that are just like, you know, and again, I always say this, it's like whenever they interview the most staunch, you know, aggressive Trump supporters, they're always total idiots. They're just the biggest morons you've ever listened to in the world. But that's not an indication of anything. Like, hey, here are the stupidest people alive who don't know anything. Yeah, they're the ones that are on board the most. It's, you know, it's kind of like being at a fucking, you know, it was like when NSYNC was really big. But that- so I oh, so with her, it's amazing because she was able to see it. And, you know, another thing I noticed a trend is like, all the people who basically worked in, you know, directly under Trump and in the White House and saw everything was going on are like, oh, it's a shit show. Like, he should not be president again. All the people who literally were witnessing firsthand inside the West Wing in the Oval Office are like, he shouldn't be president. And then everyone else who has literally no glimpse to what's going on is like, no, why? He's the greatest. He should be president. It's like the people who work directly with him are like, no, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's a moron. He's an idiot. So I guess if you work so up close, there's no denying it. I guess that's what it is. Because the only ones that stay on board are the ones who are just like have no spine and are just terrified. I think they think, remember, did you hear the thing where Meadows testified in court and they were like, why did you go along with the fake electors thing? And he was like, because I was afraid he was going to scream at me. And it was like, so that's why you went through with a coup, because you thought your boss was going to yell at you. Like, just you're like, wow, that's where you really should be in a high position of government. Like, because you're afraid of someone screaming at you for not overturning free and fair elections.
Yeah. But, you know, it's so funny because you're talking about how you can't convince these Republicans. I was trying to find the video. I saw this video where this guy interviews, he's at some MAGA rally and he goes to the guy, you know, the guy says, what did Joe Biden ever do in this for this country? And then the interviewer was like reeling off all the things. He capped, you know, insulin prices, he passed these green initiatives, the Inflation Reduction Act. He says seven things, and then the guy just like is stone faced and goes, hoax or whatever. You no answer.
The one I love is that I saw this today, and it's kind of a common one where they'll be like, Biden's a mess, you know, he's, look at what he's doing, he's ruining the country, and then they'll be like, yeah, so what do you think? I don't know how they steered into it. And then they'll be like, I mean, you know, and he's not even, you know, he's not even cognizant, he's not even president. And they're like, who's president? Like, Trump is president. And they're like, so Trump is president, so is Trump, he's the reason for inflation.
Yeah.
Right now. And they're like, and the woman's like, yeah, because he had to do it because he had to show what it would be like if Hillary Clinton was president. It's like, you know, and then like the border crisis, what about the immigrant, you know, the people migrating all the, in the over the border? Yeah, I don't think that's real, because he, you know, he built the wall, you know, and they won't show the wall. You're just like,
but it's like, you can't win with these people. You
where
know?
Can you go? Like, how can you have someone? We need to wrap up soon, but like,
yeah.
Rachel Maddow said something last night after debate, and it was funny because you could almost tell people had a reaction to it. they were like, oh, I've never really heard it, you know, phrased so succinctly. Basically, what has happened is the GOP, when you watch these debates, it's so weird to watch because they're trying to like have it. It almost looks like a fake like debate reenactment, like role playing from like politics in the 90s.
Yeah.
Where like they're trying to have a presidential primary debate in a different time and era, acting like we're not in the era that we are right now. And basically what's going on is the GOP isn't, they're not interested in politics anymore. And that's what's slowly been happening. Like they're not like, you know what? I want to hear what policies. They're like, you're not getting it. We don't care. This is the guy we want. We want one guy in there and he's going to rule with an iron fist and he is going to make everyone do exactly what we want to do. We're not going to listen to like, hey, well, Biden has some good ideas. Are they? It's like, no, it's over. We want a dictatorship.
Right.
It's not
he's going to do whatever we want him to do. It's that he's going to just hurt liberals and hurt brown people. That's all we want.
Right.
We don't want anything for ourselves. Yeah.
So much easier. Life is so much easier when it's like, you know what? This guy's going to do everything. When you hear like, I'll take care of everything, most normal people are like, well, that's not how it should be. That's not our government. But they're, that sect hears that. And that's like comforting to them. They're like, great. One guy is going to take care of everything. That's all I need to know. It's kind of like, I can, you know, like getting in a relationship and the girl or the guy is like, I'll take care of everything. And it's like, that's comforting. So I do feel like, but it was amazing. And it's been staring in the, like people have been, you know, following this and they're just exasperated. They can't figure it out. It's like, oh shit. Like they're not even, they don't want to play that game anymore.
Yeah.
They know they're not interested in this anymore. This isn't, they want a post-political world.
Well, let's listen.
They wanted to be an authoritarian.
I just want to play this for a minute. I just pick random. This is that, you know, that guy, Jordan Klepper, who always goes to Trump rally.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love it. It's funny, but scary.
January 6th hearings. And surely these politically engaged folks were also tuned in.
Have you guys been watching the January 6th hearings?
No.
Have you watched any of the January 6th hearings?
Not really. I had a barp and changing phones. But
you had to what?
I changed phones.
Are you watching them?
No, sir.
No. Why not?
Well, A, time.
You don't have time to watch a 2-hour hearing.
No, yeah.
No. Not at all. How long are you here today?
Until 5.
Until 5. Which is, but you got here at?
I got here at 7.
7, which makes it 10 hours.
Right.
But the 2-hour hearing, who's got time for that shit?
Most were paying no attention, and yet there were some paying even less attention.
What about what happened on January 6th? What do you think what happened there?
I don't really know what happened on January 6th.
January 6th,
the election day?
No, election day was back in November. Do you?
I don't even know what.
Do you know about January 6th?
No.
So when I say January 6th, that means just
nothing. I don't know. That's
I mean, the fact that you would be someone who's out there supporting, you know, clearly you're engaged at some level. But you wouldn't know. First of all, what's the one guy saying? He said, I didn't watch because I was switching phones.
Right. But here's the thing.
Is switching phones a big process? I didn't know that was a thing.
Right. And there's other places you can watch the hearings, by the way. But here's the thing. They don't know about any of this stuff because they're, you know, the algorithm never directs them to that. So those girls, you didn't see what they looked like. They were young and didn't seem smart. But They go on their fucking Facebook page and they don't see any of this stuff. So they have no idea. That's why I talk to people and they're like, the Democrats should be louder about things. I'm like, they'll never cover it. These people don't see it.
Right, right. So, that's why when I was watching the Cassidy Hutchins and some of her interviews, it's like, none of it matters. It's like MSNBC, you know what I mean? And it's on all the, you know, quote
echo chambers.
Yeah, so that's... That is amazing, though, that you'd be, because I can understand someone who's like living, who's, you know, literally like a sex slave in someone's dungeon, not knowing about January 6th. But someone who's engaged somewhat in politics, not knowing what January, like never having heard any offhand. I mean, like they covered it on Fox. I mean, they spun it, but they did talk about it.
She thought it was election day. So she,
I think in their mind, that was election day.
I got to be honest. I'm glad that that woman thinks that January 6th is election day because you really don't want her to be voting on November, whatever. Yeah.
I think that they think that's what voting is now, is just attacking the police in the Capitol. I think they think that's what voting is.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's, I don't know what your experience has been, but I mean, I've kind of resigned myself a little bit. You know, I've just sort of given up about, there's not much I can do about it. I can't change the direction and the idiocy. The fact that what's scary is like, and I always say this is like, not like that he might win, but like he probably won't, but like that it'll be close. That's the most terrifying thing about it.
Well, the problem is when it's close, especially when the polls are close, there's, you know, there's chance for hijinks, you know, and it's like what happened in 2000, which was a real stolen election where, you know, that's why the Democrats got to be in power in the states that you need, because you have a Republican governor like what Jeb Bush did. And they were throwing out fucking ballots. They were, you know, having weird ballots, or they were disqualifying people for no reason. I mean, the Democrats were asleep at the switch, and that was a defining election in this history. I mean, things changed so much after that. The two most defining elections probably in the last 50 years were 2000 and 2016. In both cases, the president who won still didn't win the popular vote. And that's the saddest thing.
What do you think happens if he loses? And clearly Trump, I mean, and, you know, he's not going to go away, and he's going to, you know, it's going to be more of the fraud. And so, but what happens after that? Do you think he runs again? I know a lot of people are looking at it like, well, that's it. If he doesn't win, that's it. What's going to change?
He's going to say, you know, it was a fix and all that stuff. However, the advantage that the Democrats have at this time is they run this, you know, they run the power of the city. So, Trump.
It'll just be this again?
No, but Trump was, you know, Trump didn't call in the National Guard. I mean, they laid down, like, the president has control over that.
Right.
You know, if they try to storm the Capitol again, fucking Biden's going to have the fucking whole U.S. military out there. You know what I mean?
No, and I know that. I mean, after, like, I mean, the next 4 years, is it just again, like, you know, the election deny it? Because they're not just going to be like, all right, he lost. That's it. But
it's going to be bad no matter what. Either he wins and it'll be, you know, hell on earth, or he loses and they'll still be pissed. But, you know, maybe at some point, if he loses again, there might be some people who are like, you know what, you're kind of a two-time loser, even though we believe you won or whatever. But I don't know.
I just feel like
after that.
I don't know. I feel like he will. I feel like it's just going to be until he dies. But I don't know. I mean, maybe he'll be. This is like one of the most. I've never ever in my life had this much anxiety about like a coming year, just because of like
next
an election.
Year's gonna be awful. It's going to be awful. I mean, in 2000, we got a break because we were all inside and it was like kind of.
I know.
But this is
the
awful.
Good old days. But this is like what I was saying. I was watching Biden give a speech today and I was like, oh, someone's going to get shot. Like there's going to be some assassination thing. Like for
President?
Some reason I can. Maybe no. I just feel like now. Why? Because the security is just so
you can't
tight.
Do it anymore.
It seems like
if Obama wasn't like shot, wasn't gonna happen.
I guess you're right. Yeah. But I just when I was watching Biden, I was like, oh no, like please don't let this happen.
Yeah.
But it just feels like, you know what I mean? It's just that thing of like it happened before the 6th where you just feel something building and it's just not going to go away. There has to be some.
It will be. But again. They, you know, they put away a lot of those people, those oath keepers.
Yeah, I guess they did. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And those guys are all counting on Trump to win because he's, you know, they're going to be doing fucking 20-year stretches unless he pardons them, which he probably will, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well,
that's fine. All right. We should go.
I hope we were able to lift everyone's spirits today. So we'll be back next week with more doom and gloom about the future.
All right.
We'll be back next week. We're going to talk about, movie Police Academy 3. We're going to do something a little different.
And Age Street.
The episode.
And Age Street.
That's going to be that'll be the name of this episode. Maybe it'll get some, it'll attract some viewers or whatever, listeners. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next time.
Bye.